Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell your embarrassing stories. We tell our embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. It's all about embarrassment. I'm Katie.
I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn
Beat Red.
How was your week?
You want to know my week?
I said it first.
I was sick for the whole week and we couldn't put up lights on the house and we couldn't bake cookies for my single lady friends in the neighborhood.
No.
And we couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything. And yesterday at this time, I was falling off the bed crying. But I will tell you, something embarrassing happened from all this.
Oh, no.
And it was funny.
Okay.
I can't smell anything. And three times this week, because of course I still had to go to the park with my son, three different strangers were like, ma'am, I think your son has a dirty diaper. I was like, get away from me. So that was it. Yeah. I mean, I'm much better now. That's a perk
that you can't smell the dirt.
I could not. Oh, it's great.
That's
but
a
I
nice
mean,
perk.
My husband came in. He was like, oh my God, the diaper pail, it's open. My eyes are burning. And I was like sitting in the middle of the room, smiling, playing with my son. I have no sense of smell.
Amazing.
How was your week?
My week was good. My son's out of school. So
what did you do?
We've been trying to get festive. We did the little Griffith Park train ride. That was really cute.
That's fun.
That was fun.
Gingerbread house?
We did a gingerbread house. See, I owned up to it this week. I did all the things that I haven't been doing. So I'm like, let's get festive really fast. So I'm going to drive around and see some lights and like do some other light things. We haven't decorated cookies yet. So that's something that we have to do too.
We're doing that tomorrow.
Last minute. Yeah, maybe we'll do that tomorrow too. And I went to an amazing estate sale that I was so excited about. It was one of the best estate sales I've ever seen. I don't usually do them because of the fact that they're so intense out here. Like, it's like throwing bows to get to stuff. There's so many resellers in Los Angeles that like estate sales are cutthroat. You have to get in line super early. It's a whole thing. But this one, I got really lucky and I went to it early and I got in the first wave and I found such amazing stuff. It's on my feed if you care about that stuff. So you can go find it there. But yeah,
my dad was raving about what he found. He's like, I can't believe what she got.
I wish she could have gone. I know it was such a good one.
Oh my God. That's the best. It's the best. I love that. Doesn't that make you feel so glowy inside when you go to something like that?
It's treasure hunting. It makes me so happy. Yeah, I found some treasure. The best. For our first call, we are calling our friend Erica.
Love her.
We've mentioned her on the podcast before because she is the one who has the only like one woman show that is like phenomenal.
It is. I mean, it is one of the best shows I've ever seen. Honestly.
It's so good. Like your friends say like, oh, come see me in this one woman show. And you're like, oh God, it's going to be bad. You're just like, okay, what faces am I going to make? What am I going to say?
Like,
I'm
going
to be
like, she going through the president's wives. Like, what are these characters?
I loved your outfit. Nice.
Oh my God, the show.
It's so good though.
Vacuum Girl.
You can still, it's continued to be a success for the last year.
They keep extending it.
And I'll go see it a million times. It's so funny. She's brilliant. And we love her so much.
Yes.
So she's telling us a story today and we're so excited. Go see Vacuum Girl. And this is our friend Erica.
Yay.
Her handle on Instagram is GuruBF, GuruBF. So if you want to go check her out there, you can see more details on where to see her in Vacuum Girl 2. But let's give her a call. Erica!
Hi!
You're on with Katie and Mary Kate of the Beat Red Podcast and also your friends.
We love you!
Hi.
We're fangirls.
Yeah, we're so excited.
I'm fangirls of you guys.
We're all fanning on each other.
Hi.
The best.
This is such an honor.
We just raved about Vacuum Girl because it honestly is the best show. And where is it playing right now and when's the next one?
Oh my God, you sweet angel. I just did it at Dynasty Typewriter. And now I'm just dead till the new year and then I'll set new dates. So then I'll tell you and
yay. So stay tuned. I put your handle on there too so people can stay abreast of it. But it is definitely the next time it's out, we'll mention it on here too because everyone has to go see it. It's the best show. Like shockingly good. And I knew you were funny and talented, but it's just so good.
Yeah, blows you away. You walk away and you're like on a cloud of just thought. Also, you're one of the funniest people I've ever met too. So I wanted
No pressure.
You're a comic genius.
I'm blushing. Okay, I have a question about my embarrassing story.
Okay.
Is it okay to talk about having gotten drunk before I was 21?
Anything you want to talk about,
anything
you can
goes.
Say. We've heard it all.
Cool. And if I slip up and use the F word, we're okay?
We curse as much as we can.
It's hot.
Okay. Fuck yes. Okay.
Yep.
Should I just start? I haven't told the story in so long, so my heart's already racing.
Yes.
I don't even know what it is, so I'm thrilled.
Dive in. Oh, you don't? Uh-uh. Oh, fun. Okay. No. Awesome.
Okay. So, oh God. I believe, a freshman in high school and it's a Friday night and I go to a party and I get drunk for the first time. And it's like upperclassmen at the party and like my friends. And then the guy I'm kind of seeing who's an upperclassman, and I just get so drunk and then that's it.
Okay.
And then Monday. Sorry. Yeah. And that's, sorry. It was
just
so
a hard blackout. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So, Monday I get to school, and side note, I know that I'm getting picked up early from school by my dad because I have a third and final callback for a David Fincher movie.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
I know.
So exciting.
I know. Okay. So, like a big day already. I woke up like, okay, like, I'm going to get this part, whatever. So I get to school, and as I'm walking into school, it's like an 80s movie where like everyone is looking at me and pointing at me.
That's
and
the
whispering.
Worst.
It was so weird. I'm walking through the halls and everyone, I mean, people I don't know, people I've never seen before, are like pointing, laughing, and whispering at each other.
No,
it all happened in slow motion.
Horrific.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, I love to be popular, but this doesn't feel like positive.
You're like, the janitor just whispered about me. What is happening?
Yeah. What? And so finally I get to like the end of the long hallway, and my girlfriends just rip me into the bathroom. And they're like, okay, so apparently you drank piss on Friday. And
no.
I like that. So Raven, like, whoop, like back to that night. I go to that night and I remember it as clear as day all of a sudden that I came back from the bathroom. I sat down. I remembered that everyone was like 30, 40 people were all just looking at me. This is how drunk I was, but I didn't go like, what? I sit down and I drank my beer and I said, that was warm.
Oh, no.
What?
I know.
Wait. So you're coming back. There's a bottle on the ground that's open for anyone to see.
No, there's a can. It was like a can or a solo cup.
And so
all I know is that I sat there. Everyone was looking at me and I was like, what?
Was it outside?
Looking like at me in the party. Like, no. This was in like a living room.
Someone peed in a can in a living room in the middle of a party and left it there?
Yeah, and it was like a giant plan for like the entire party because nobody stopped it and everybody was looking.
Whoa. So there was a whole discussion about like, let's put this can of piss here and see who drinks it.
Yes. Like, how long was I in the bathroom?
That's
like,
so
this
fucked
is
up.
The problem with being so
that is
drunk.
So
you just
fucked.
Can't. And so I take a sip and I say that was warm and I move on with my night, which also like increased to me like crying in a driveway about like, just so drunk. And but then I woke up the next day and was like, I did it. I got drunk. Like, I'm just such a teenager. I totally blacked out that part about. So Monday morning, my friends are like, you drank piss and everybody knows. And the entire school wouldn't stop like looking at me and pointing at me. Meanwhile, I am about to get picked up by my dad.
No,
did they give you a Nick Fincher callback?
For the biggest moment of my life. Yeah. And my brother goes to school, my older brother, and so he's hearing about it too.
Oh, God.
Anyways, my dad picks me up and we're driving to the audition. I want to die. I'm fully spiraling. I'm like, my life is over. And my brother, my brother calls my dad in the car and my dad's just like, yeah, yeah, okay, interesting. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting. Then you knew.
And I'm like, here we go. Like, he's going to drive me off this bridge, Golden Bridge, Bay Area, shout out. So I'm like, what was that? He's like, oh, just Josh, you know, like your brother just wants to know if he could like use the car. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay, great. So my brother didn't tell him. Great. I go to the audition. It's the third round. I've already done it. It's between me and like two other girls.
Oh my God.
And the scene is like, I'm supposed to be like in a car with a guy. And we're like, it's like the 50s. It's from that movie Zodiac. And it's like, and all of a sudden a killer comes to the car and I have to like scream my head off and freak out and like run out of the car. So yes. I'd done it really well the first few times, clearly, because I got down to the final round. Well, when I was in that room, they were like, okay, we're just going to like improv a little as if we're on a date. And then whenever you're ready, like start screaming about the killer. I like blacked out to the point where they were like, Erica, like all I remember when I was like, Erica, do you want to try it? Like, I don't know how long I just sat there staring off into space. And I was like, oh, yeah. Ah. I like couldn't scream, couldn't do it. They were like, thank you very much. Left. As I'm leaving, I hear the girl after me, like, giving the most incredible blood-curdling scream. I'm like, great, she got the part. I get in the car. My dad's like, how was the audition? I was like, I don't think it went well. And he's like, well, you're in so much trouble.
Oh, no.
He at least didn't mess up your audition for you, but oh, my
exactly.
God.
Exactly. So, like, preface that my dad was like, so my brother did tell him, like, hey, Erica drank piss at a party.
Oh, my God.
What a jerk.
Brother. I know. All these characters, man. But, yeah, to this day, if I see people from high school, they're like, we know.
Erica,
you're the one.
You know what? You are not in the wrong here. That school is a – they're all psychos, first of all.
They're psychos.
To have a party that people show up to and you have a can full of piss and you're like, tick, 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 who's going to drink it? That's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like that's so classic high school, though. That is something that people do. Did they give you a nickname?
It is.
Did you get a nickname?
Not that they said to my face, so I'm fine.
Okay. Erica, like, you know
they
what?
They had one.
Do you know the movie John Wick? You know what they did to his dog? They killed his dog. You know what they did to you? You drank piss. You're going after him. We're going to get all of these people.
I love a villain origin
before
story.
New Year's. We're going to make them drink their own piss.
I mean, honestly, I did go to a high school that was like, jocks and cheerleaders like sitting on tables. You know, it was.
Oh, yeah. I could see that happening at my high school 1000%. I'm like, that could definitely happen. Like, that's such a like normal thing is everybody's playing pranks on everybody all the time. And it's like whoever is the butt of it is just you were just the unlucky one who was so drunk that you just picked it up, you know?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's just the way it was. Yeah. And fully drink it.
Yeah. Oh,
but then I remember I was in science like 2 weeks later in biology. And like, I never listened in science. But for some reason on this day, I was like, I'm going to be a good student. And it was the day that I learned that, like, if you ever got stranded and you didn't have water, you could drink your urine because it's so clean and sterile. And I remember being like, oh, I'm fine. That like, was not gross, actually.
You're like, excuse me, it is very warm.
Yeah, it's warm. But I'm cool.
Oh, my God. Erica.
At least you didn't spit it out, though, and do a whole show. You know, like, that's what they were looking for. They were looking for you to go, this is disgusting. I just drank piss. And instead, you're like, well, that was warm. Okay. And you just go on about
it. Yeah, you played it off like a total pro. And you know what? If I was the mother of the person who peed in a can and left it out for someone to drink, I would go to sleep every night ashamed of myself.
I mean, also, I just want to add that my dad was like, you went to a party and drank piss. And I was like, that's a huge rumor they've started. I was never at that party. So
good.
I had my friend in theater class who could do a bunch of different voices, call him as a Midwestern mother and
Shut
say like,
up.
I had heard these rumors. He was safe at my house. He took him to the movies. Got my dad to apologize to me.
That's incredible. May he never hear this podcast.
It was the can of pee that like ignited a revolution.
Your manipulation is next level and I'm here for it.
You are an amazing actress.
Well, I didn't get
I
to
call
act
it resourcefulness.
In the Nathan Fincher movie, so I was like, I'm going to play the part of shock.
It's so
funny. Yeah, I just want to shout out Carrie McIntyre, the actress who played the mother of my friend. If you're out there, thank you. And David Fincher, like, if you want to give me another try.
David Fincher, you didn't know what was going on that day.
Oh, you missed out. Go watch Vacuum Girl because it's so good.
Oh, yeah. You need to go to Vacuum Girl.
Oh, you guys.
Oh,
we love you. Thank you so much.
Erica, that was an amazing story full of twists and turns. And I loved it. And I love you.
Yes, we love you to pieces.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much.
I hope I see you soon.
We will.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for coming on. It means so much to us.
Of course.
Have an amazing rest of your day. Love you.
Love you. Bye. I love that.
So good.
I love, that's what I love about her. She's just like these little tiny little add-ons. And you're like, what? A David Fincher callback? What? Your dad? Your friend is impersonating someone?
That's the best part. The things that I did anyway to manipulate my parents and be like, that was not me. That is not true. The amount of times that I shaggied my parents and told them that wasn't me. Like, it wasn't me.
And they believed it?
Well, after, you know, the right amount of convincing. Yep. Sometimes you got actors playing parts. Sometimes you're doing whatever you're doing. But
you got costume changes.
You got costume changes. You got things going on. But I totally fully relate to that. And that was hilarious.
I do too. And that's why we're in the entertainment business. Here we are.
Good. Do you have another one for us?
Do I have another one? I do. I was looking for some holiday stories for the old, you know, the week of. And I found this on a website called Two Peas Refugees. And Shizzo319 writes, "One day, shortly before Christmas, a girlfriend and I were getting together for our annual cookie baking day. We popped some silvered almonds in the oven to toast and then got to giggling about something and burned them to a crisp. So we headed to the nearest grocery store. It was a store I wasn't familiar with, so I told my friend I was going to ask where I could find the almonds. I marched right up to the front of the store where half of the city was picking up last-minute baking supplies and asked the young man standing at the front bagging groceries, 'Excuse me, where are your nuts?' I have a relatively loud voice that carries well, so every single human within a 50-foot radius heard me, and I prayed for the ground to open up and swallow me right there. The other customers were giggling. The cashiers were turning purple, trying not to laugh. And the poor young man, whose nuts I just inquired about, looked like he might die of embarrassment himself as he quietly mumbled, 'I'll do.' It was years before I was able to show my face at that store again."
Yeah, you should have said, "Where are the almonds?"
Yeah. Where are your nuts?
Where are your nuts at, man?
That's crazy.
Okay, my next one is from my husband, Mirage.
Oh, Mirage.
In case you missed it, he edits this podcast and he did our amazing theme music.
He's an amazing person.
Very talented.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful. He remembered this one. Like, you know, you hear them and then it pops up. So he, as he's editing it, he's like, "Oh, I just remembered another one." And he said, "I could tell it." So here we go. And one thing that's important to note is he is a massive Lakers fan. And that is important to the story. Okay. The year is 2000. I'm working at the hottest club at the time, Moomba in West Hollywood. Do you remember Moomba?
I know. I wasn't cool.
Moomba.
I didn't go. Did you go?
Yeah.
Did you think you saw him there?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows? I think we could have run into each other a million times, but who knows? It was always packed, and the downstairs lounge was filled with celebrities. I was a food runner because I had to start somewhere, and I wanted in at this club. On this night, I was running plates of steak and asparagus down the stairs to the lounge. It was jam-packed, and you could barely move. I should also mention that these plates felt like they had been hand-delivered from Satan himself.
I hate that shit. Oh, my God.
In the depths of hell.
His fingers are burning off.
They were so scalding hot that I had two layers of napkins on my hands and arms to prevent third-degree burns.
Poor baby.
As I carefully pushed through the crowd, trying not to spill the food or burn myself or anyone else, I set one plate of steak down on a cocktail table. There was no room for the second plate, so I whirled around to the left with a plate of asparagus to scan the room for the next place to set it down. Suddenly, the scalding hot plate made a boinking sound as it collided with the head of Robert Horry.
Who's Robert Horry?
If you don't know who that is, he's a forward for the Lakers.
Oh, shit.
And I'm a huge fan. This was also right after he hit one of the biggest shots in Lakers history. He said, "God damn, man."
That's the worst.
He literally has this massive hot plate of asparagus and turns and literally bonks in the head. You know those plates are like the really heavy, nice ones too, and just like hot? It's hot.
Yes,
you get a hot hit to the temple. Yes. He could have knocked him out.
Oh, it burned him. Like had a like a visual burn.
He got burned and bonked in the head with a massive plate of asparagus.
You know that he was watching that shot like hours before being like, yeah.
It's like one of his idols. It wasn't that night, but he's saying like it had just happened recently. And I said, "Damn, man, I'm sorry. Not only had I hit him in the head with a heavy plate, I also burned his head."
No.
Mortified and trying to lighten the mood, I switched gears and said, "You shouldn't even be here. You have a game tomorrow." And luckily that made him laugh. I still felt so bad and was super embarrassed that I hit someone I admired so much in the head with a plate of asparagus.
He played that off so well. I would not have known what to say.
I would have turned bright red and probably just backed away.
Like, Do you know?
I would have said, I would have profusely apologized, probably like just turned around and like, maybe I would have walked out. I don't know.
I would have probably just like done something even so crazy, like touched his head and been like, "Are you okay, man? Like, I'm so sorry. You're so important to me." You know what I mean? Yeah. That would have made it so awkward.
Yeah.
But I love that. That shit is so hard when you're waiting tables and you're trying to get through a big crowded place with plates. Who orders food when there's like no place to sit?
I know. They don't. Oh, that's how God. It is, though. It's all like lounges and like cocktail tables.
I remember. I mean, yikes. I don't remember Moomba, but I remember those days. All right. This is from Greg in Los Angeles, and he writes, "I wanted to propose to my girlfriend in epic surroundings because of how epic our love is. I planned for a whole year, picking a perfect hike in Malibu that ends on a hillside overlooking the ocean. I was planning on popping the question on December 22nd to commemorate our first date the year before. Los Angeles gets dark at 4-ish in December, but I planned the time in harmony with a sunset. A cozy hotel off the PCH for the night had been booked. My best friend was going to take the hike early in the morning and put a lit "Marry Me" sign where the clearing was so I could just get right to it as soon as she saw the sign.
So cute.
The vast ocean beyond it. I know.
No, that's right? Beautiful. That's so thoughtful.
So thoughtful and so beautiful. And that's the end of the story. Every detail had been lived and relived in my mind's eye. Did I mention it was perfect? December 22nd was a little chilly, and my girlfriend thought we were just going for an ordinary hike in Malibu. She suspected nothing. In my pocket was my great-grandmother's 2-carat diamond engagement ring, which was over 100 years old. I couldn't wait to see it on my girlfriend's finger. It was 1:30 when we reached the hike's parking lot. We were on schedule. As we stretched at the car, I started to get nervous. Was I making a mistake? Rushing this? Would she even say yes? There was no backing out now. I loved her so much. We stopped and made out a lot on the hike. Time was ticking. I had read that the hike would take about an hour. She didn't seem to notice how fast my heart was beating or how sweaty I was, even though the air was pretty chilly. To this day, I have no recollection of what we even talked about. We got to the end of the hike and it was breathtaking. The sun was about to set and casting a long path of soft light towards us. My "Marry Me" sign was twinkling in the distance. We were all alone. I heard her gasp as I got down on one knee, reached for my ring box, and it wasn't there.
Oh my God.
It's so scary and that's terrible. That's horrible. Right?
2 carats.
Because it had fallen out on the hike. I have no idea how that could have even happened. I panicked and rambled through my proposal. So he proposed, even though he was like feeling in his pocket for the ring and there's no ring, but he had to like.
Well, he's already down on his knees. So she's like, what are you doing?
To this day.
Unless he tied his shoe really fast. He right. doesn't have a way to recover. But the sign was there too. Well, she probably would have seen
me. It. Yeah. And it was perfect. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And your ring is not in your pocket. Ugh. To this day, I can't remember what I said. Then the time came and she put her hand out and I grabbed it, got to my feet and told her we had to sprint back down the hike because the ring had fallen out sometime when we were making out. We ran all the way back down, searching frantically. It turns out I'd left the ring in the car somehow. Maybe I hadn't even put it in my pocket before I picked her up. I ended up getting back down on one knee in the cold light of my open car door and proposing to her again in the dark. She still said yes somehow. We've been together for 4 years now. That's crazy, right?
So
can you
cute.
Imagine? Oh,
he's lucky God. That he didn't actually lose it on the hike because that would be horrible.
Terrible.
The worst.
The worst.
Okay, my next story comes from Yesenia, and she writes, when I was in my early 20s, I was living in Hollywood in between jobs. My rent was only $600 at the time because I had roommates, but I didn't know how I was going to pay it that month. A friend called me and asked if I wanted to work a party that weekend for a director. It would be at his house in the Hollywood Hills. She said I would just have to pass hors d'oeuvres and they would even provide the outfit I would wear. I occasionally did catering and I needed the money, so I said yes when she told me they would pay $600 for the night, my exact amount for rent. It was perfect.
That's amazing.
She said to meet her downtown the next day so she could fit me for my outfit. I assumed it would probably be like a black dress or something, and I met her at the address she listed in Chinatown. It was a clothing shop with all traditional Chinese garments. She proceeded to hold up options of tight silk dresses with buttons. I asked why we were wearing these and what the theme was. She said, oh, the director loves Japan, and the whole party is Japanese themed, so we're going to put you guys in these. Oh, I said, these are Chinese dresses, though. Oh. She said, oh, whatever, this is fine. Don't worry, he'll love it. I was starting to feel a little uncomfortable as a Latina being dressed up in a Chinese outfit for a Japanese themed party for a middle-aged white guy.
Yeah, seriously.
He was a big director, but I'm leaving his name out because, you know, legal reasons. I was really nervous when the day arrived, and I wondered what to expect. I arrived at the location where we were told to meet, and they shuttled us into his home to get ready for the party. We were told that there would be hair and makeup at the house and to come with a clean, makeup-free face. I walked past naked girls being adorned with sushi on a table and was thankful that I wasn't in that position tonight.
So creepy.
But
eating sushi off of a body is so gross.
I know. Remember they used to do that, yes. though, all the time in the early 2000s?
I've catered parties at places
it, yeah,
like
it was
yeah.
like every party and even restaurants did it in bars. Like, yes. they were everywhere. It was so gross. Yeah. I know. I'm like, I don't want to eat makeup off their body. Like, nasty.
No.
Like, ew.
It's also like,
they would put, like, a leaf
hot.
Right where their vagina was. It was so, they would. They would put, like, one of those
and you know,
big,
some, like, old perv would just be like, oh, I'll have that one.
Yes, I know. But gross. I'm like, I don't touch yeah. your skin. Anyway. But as the makeup artist started my makeup, suddenly I wished I was the sushi girl instead. What is this? I asked. She said, oh, you're all geishas. Didn't you know? I said, no, this I really wasn't comfortable with. I wanted to tell all these crazy white people this was totally inappropriate and unacceptable and that I was leaving and they could all fuck off.
Good.
I wanted to.
Damn it.
But I didn't.
No, you need that money.
I also wasn't going to make rent without this gig. Oh. So I stayed quiet and I let her style my hair and makeup in a geisha fashion paired with my Chinese dress. And it was all wrong. And I was completely humiliated. I walked out in the tight dress, barely able to do more than a shuffle waddle with this ridiculous makeup. And I looked out into the living room. It was a star-studded event. A-list celebrities everywhere.
That's the worst.
And I looked like this. I wanted to die. I sheepishly passed hors d'oeuvres around, avoided eye contact with anyone. I tried to hide as much as possible. I tried to talk to a couple of the other girls about it, but they weren't as fazed as I was. At the end of the night, as I was changing and ready to scrub my face off, a female celebrity burst into the room I was changing in. I was startled, but more so by who she was and how carefree she was. She said, "Oh, sorry. The director said I could borrow a shirt because I spilled wine on mine. See?" And then she took her shirt off in front of me. She wasn't wearing a bra.
Okay.
And grabbed a shirt from his closet, put it on, and floated out of the room. It was so bizarre. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And I still cringe when I think about that night. If it happened today, he would be canceled.
That story, I love.
Isn't that crazy?
There's so many stories like that where you have to make
in the
your
early
rent.
2000s, it was gnarly, and the things people were doing. Like,
yes.
That they thought it was totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Let's put this Latina so girl and white
terrible.
Girls in these Chinese dresses with geisha hair and makeup.
Like,
yeah. This guy, he just loves Japan. Like, what?
Horrible. It's just not right. It's just not right at all.
Cultural appropriation.
I know. Yeah. I know. And it's just like the things that you just did. You're like, all right, this is what I'm doing today. It's such a Hollywood thing, though. You know what I mean? I don't think any other place has that. Maybe New York.
And it happened all the time in the early 2000s.
The
it is relatable, sadly.
I mean, I've literally been in so many different costumes for parties. You know what I mean? That you just, because you're the catering staff and they want you to look a certain way. It's just like so.
Oh my God. One time I did an event and it was like, I guess I was a cocktail girl. You know, like I just had to like pass trays of cocktails and shots and stuff. We all had to dress up like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz,
what?
Like slutty Dorothys. It's so embarrassing. And I look back on that and I'm like, that feels like a fever dream. I'm like, did that really happen? Like,
totally
did I really
did.
Do that? I really did.
But you don't think about it because you're just like, all right, here's what we're doing. Like, this is what we're doing.
Okay. And it was like $100. It's like not even great. But at the time,
back then, you're like, oh, it's $100.
I was like, I need this $100. I'll go be a Dorothy and pass out cocktails. And I'm like, wow, I did that.
Totally. Oh. Yeah. It's so frustrating. But that's what makes the story so great now, because it's like, thankfully, times have changed. You hope. I better knock on something. But yeah. Oh, my God. That was a good one. Okay. This is from Charlotte in Pennsylvania, and she writes, "My cat has acted as a cock block for me a few times when I bring guys home. I think she's possessive of me because she was always doing stuff to embarrass me. Once I was making out with a really hot guy I'd met that night, and she straight up peed on the carpet we were rolling around on, like right next to his head. It reeked. Then, once when another guy was cuddling up to me in bed, she ran into the room, darted under my bed, backed out, dragging a cord that was attached to my enormous vibrator, and then darted back out of the room."
That's
Can
hilarious. That's so funny.
Can you imagine? That cat was like something trapped in that body. It was like Einstein trapped in the body of
That's
a cat.
That's hilarious.
Maybe not Einstein. Wow. Maybe Robin Williams. It was really embarrassing. She dragged it all the way out onto the floor in plain view and then just darted back out of the room. I knew that she liked my now boyfriend because all she did when he was over was sneak into my bedroom while we were both sleeping and crawl up on his chest and fall asleep on him.
Cute.
She was there when he woke up, her face inches from his. That is so funny, though, that she just had this cat that was like saboteur.
That's hilarious.
I know.
I feel like
I'm not a pet person. I've never been because I have such bad allergies. But I feel like
they
know
us. But you had
cats
growing up.
I did have cats growing up when I was allergic
patches.
To them.
We know about patches.
Patches,
little crusty ass.
Patches. Camelot was just like a speed stump in the basement. She was 24 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love my dog.
I know, but they know you and I feel like they are looking out for you somehow.
No,
that,
totally.
Would you say that? Is that true?
Yeah,
that
for accurate? Sure. For sure.
I feel like I'm Barbara Walters. I'm like, is that accurate about your cat?
But that's pretty funny.
About your dog.
Okay, this next story comes from Jen in New York and she writes, in 2021, I went to a really fun Halloween party in Manhattan. I dressed up as a dark fairy and had the cutest eye makeup and wings. I made most of my costume and I was really proud of myself. I got ready at my girlfriend's house and we walked over to the party together because she lived close to it. I was hoping to meet someone, so I planned on Ubering back to my apartment. The party was pretty posh and drinks were flowing. I was making the stupid mistake of mixing champagne and cocktails. Ugh. And before I knew it, I was pretty sloshed.
Not good.
This is also the story of the last time I blacked out. I did end up meeting a guy, and I'm told by my friend that we hit it off and were all over each other making out. He was dressed like Will Ferrell's character in Anchorman.
Amazing. Ron Burgundy.
I love picturing Ron Burgundy in a dark fairy, like making out. That's so funny. I asked him if he wanted to come back to my place, and he said yes, so we got an Uber. I should remind you that this was still considered the pandemic, so yes, I know I probably shouldn't have been going to big parties and hooking up with randos, but also we had to wear masks in the Uber. As we were almost to my apartment, it hit me.
No.
I had to barf. I knew I couldn't barf in this Uber because I would get a massive fine. And obviously, I didn't want to barf in front of this guy I was about to bang either. I took several deep breaths, willing it to go away, convincing myself, we're almost there. I can make it. As we were pulling up to my apartment, I couldn't hold it anymore.
Roll down the window.
I barfed into my mask. Chunks were dripping down the sides. It was disgusting.
That is terrible.
I immediately covered my mask and my mouth with my hands and said,
thank you,
to the driver and leapt out of the cab. I proceeded to then projectile vomit all over the street before I even shut the door behind me. Anchorman just leaned over, closed the door, and waved the Uber on, leaving me in the dust and my own throw up covered in shame.
What a jerk.
I went inside, took a shower, went to bed, and vowed to never drink that much again.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That is the first pandemic story I think we've had.
Is it? Yeah, maybe.
You know what I would have done? No, I wouldn't have done that. But I mean, you could just been like, oh.
But puking in your mouth and sitting with that is the in your mask, and it's like in your face.
And
so
chunks
it's like
are coming
you,
down.
Yes,
from it?
It's because it came out the sides.
It's
like you couldn't
all
contain
over your
it.
Cheeks.
You basically threw up because you had the mask on. You couldn't contain it, and so it's like coming out. Like that is the most disgusting and so gross.
Again, though, with humanity, like, why, if you're Ron Burgundy, would you not get out and have some manners, go around and say, are you okay?
Oh, because he didn't care. He wasn't trying to marry her. He was trying to have a one-night
sure
stand bang.
You get inside with your puke-covered face.
Because you're so sweet and you're an angel.
Go inside.
And that's not how most of these guys are.
That's
he was just
terrible.
Looking for a one-night stand. And then she barfed and ruined the mood. And he was like, goodbye.
He's like,
okay, bye. He's not trying to be a knight in shining
He's
armor. Like, he was just trying to be a one-night stand.
Right.
That was the kind of knight he was trying to be, a one-night stand.
And he didn't even get to do that.
Yeah, and he didn't get that either. So,
oh my God,
that got ruined too.
That got ruined big time. Wow, that's so sad.
I know.
Well,
do you have one more?
I do have one more, and it's very short.
Okay.
Okay, I got this online, and it is just embarrassing. So, the person writes, "There was no like name. I'd been out on Christmas Eve and got pretty drunk. I wasn't particularly worried. I'm a pro at hangovers. Uh-oh, that's never a good sign. But I knew it was going to be a tough Christmas day. Next morning, I went to church with my parents and we were handing out service sheets at the back. I was feeling pretty rough. But it wasn't until halfway through the service that I realized I was going to be sick. I rushed into the entrance hallway of the church and threw up everywhere."
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Oof.
You just are like,
you threw up
so
in church.
Well, just like all over. Yeah. Like
the devil came out of you, boy.
Yeah. You can play it off like that. You could be like, oh, I've been cleansed of the devil.
Oof.
Yeah. And people would have believed her probably. Or
I mean, I'm sure his family, and it probably reeked of vodka too, or whatever he was drinking, like reeked of alcohol.
Oh, he's probably sweating.
Because that hangover puke smells like alcohol still. So probably everyone's like, yeah. You're drunk. You're drunk up in church on Christmas.
Yeah, seriously.
That's embarrassing.
Drunk in church on Christmas.
Yeah, never a good sign.
No, never good.
That was our show.
Yay!
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them, join them.
See you next week.